fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. Holy Mother Church, as she leads us through the Pentecost season, again is showing us how to live in grace, how to live in God. For as we said last week, we live in faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity. These theological virtues are planted in our soul so that we have the life of grace from the moment that we enter into the baptismal grace, freely given to us by God. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith that we might live according to what God has given to us, not only on the natural level, but on the supernatural level. And we are able to see the Father, as our Lord says, he who sees me sees the Father. We are able to see the Father through the image of God the Son, who is our hope. Because in knowing him and following his example, we know what we are to do, how we are to act. There we see hope in the imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, what is charity but love? And who is the Holy Ghost but love? So we see here the Trinity being planted in our soul, as we said a few weeks ago. In making man, what does God say? Let us make man in our image. In baptism, that image is once more planted into our soul. In faith, hope, and charity. And again, reminding you, what does Christ want for us? And he tells us. He tells the apostles, go through all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Those who believe shall be saved. Those who do not shall be condemned. Pretty harsh words. Not exclusionary. Very exclusionary. Those who believe shall be saved. Again, the image of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But something more. Do this. Believe. Again, in making man, how do we sin? Thought, word, deed. What we do. Again, we see. We think of God. And we refer that to the Father. The word, that is the word of God. The second person is the word. We hear his word, we do his word. And deed, we can do no deed except by grace, which is to be meritorious. And that is the Holy Ghost. Thought, word, and deed. This is how we become strong, by living this triple life of faith, hope, and charity. That is how we apply ourselves to God in these three theological virtues. They bring our activities in conformity with the moral law. But the moral law itself is applied not to God so much as it is applied to our neighbor. The moral law gives us grace to be, by our exertions, gives us grace that by our exertions we are able to live in conformity to the grace, the sanctifying grace. Moral virtues make us pleasing to God and perfect in our exterior actions, the actions which we perform towards our neighbor. So we see that theological virtues make us conform to the image of the Trinity, and the moral law makes us conform towards our neighbor in the image of the Trinity, so that in us then, the image of the Trinity may be seen by the world. We are pleasing to God because we show forth his image towards our neighbor. The moral virtues show our actions towards our neighbor. Let's take one of those virtues, liberality. Liberality is the virtue by which we do works for the love of God towards our neighbor. So if someone comes and says to you, for the love of God, help me with this. When you do an action for the love of God, even if they didn't ask you for the love of God, when you do an action for the love of God, it is an act of liberality on your part towards them. We'll come back to that in a few minutes, okay? That is an exterior action. That's an exterior action towards your neighbor. Not directly towards God, but towards your neighbor for the love of God. The theological virtues are infused into the soul at our baptism and given with sanctifying grace. The moral virtues we gain for ourselves at the cost of our labor, our works, by the use of the timely graces which God gives to us, those effective graces to aid us. In so doing and living the moral law, habits must be founded, must be formed. We must practice over and over and over again these moral virtues. Just like anything else we do in life, it doesn't come easily. Original sin comes very easily, but then we will have no freedom and no joy. The principle, the moral virtues are these: humility, obedience, meekness, liberality, temperance, chastity, diligence. Diligence makes us apply to our duties, to our work. So, we do our work, we're rendering something not only to our own life, but to our neighbor, because we're bringing our gifts out, whether it's in our strength of our body or the strength of our mind, we're applying ourselves to that occupation. You have to learn math? Be diligent. That's a virtue. What is the opposite fault? Laziness. Laziness. And you dissipate yourself and you do not do your studies. Chastity? That is towards our body, so it applies towards ourselves and towards our neighbor. So we watch over the temple of our body, which God gave to us in a most beautiful way. It is perfect. There's nothing ugly about you at all. One of the most delightful things, when I see the young or the old, and they respect and love their bodies, they haven't turned it into some mishmash. It makes me very sad when I see the young and they take their beautiful hair and they turn it purple or blue, as if there's something wrong with their hair. Well, obviously they're trying to get attention. I know, generally, you know, if you see someone with blue hair, you think, oh, they must be 60 or 80 and 90 years old. But if their hair is natural, well, it'll be silver or black or brown, and you expect that. You're not distracted. You can be diligent about your other works, but every time you see that blue head, you go, what's that? Wonder what disease they have. Or they cut the hair really close on the two sides and all they have is a little pompadour on the top of some sort. Why can't they just love that which they have? It is beautiful. The temple of God is well made. And just like your home, I don't expect you to take a can of spray paint and spray it with paint all over the place, even if you're really good with spray paint. That's for painting little red wagons and things like that. But not your house. Your body is your house. Then why do we tattoo? Why must we tattoo the temple of God? Is that decorating and making it more beautiful? Just look at someone who's 80 or 90 years old who put a tattoo on when they were 16 and 18. See what that looks like. Is that beautiful? Not really. You should look at it in order that you might see how the temple of God should be revered and kept neat and clean and orderly. Our temperance, that applies towards ourselves once more, and it also gives an example towards our neighbor. How much we eat, how much we drink. Liberality, what is that? That is the use of our property. Liberality is when we use our property for the love of God towards our neighbor. Meekness, that is an attitude. We do our works because we know God gave us an assignment. We do it for the love of our neighbor. Those who are meek, they're not floor mats. The meek, such as our Lord, he knew exactly what he's up to, and he was able to take a whip and go right through the temple. The temple of God is a house of prayer, and you have made it into a den of thieves. And he went and cleaned the temple. Is that meekness by the way the world thinks? You think he's a floor mat? Not quite. He knew what his mission was, and he performed it. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Be meek. Go do it. Go do it. Don't be afraid. If it is the will of God, it'll give you peace. It will not disturb your neighbor because they will see the peace in your soul. It'll give you joy because you're doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. Obedience. You know, when people hear the word obedience, they fall into a fury of fear. Oh, I'm going to be under somebody's hand. Oh. But you know what we get when you practice obedience is liberty. Liberty. Are you in favor of liberty? You ought to be. Think of this. Without obedience, take a game, any game. If you take a 7 or 8 year old child, 6, 5 years old perhaps, a little bit younger, and you go play with a 5 or 6 year old child, what happens during the game? They change this rule, they change that rule, they change that rule as you go along. Every time you try and make a score, oh, you can't do that because of this rule or that rule, which conveniently gets changed as you go along. They're not practicing any obedience to the rules. They have no obedience. So you're not free to enjoy yourself. You have no idea what's going to happen next, do you? Everything's helter-skelter constantly. How can you practice the moral virtue of obedience? You apply yourself to the rule. And as a child grows older, they begin to learn that a baseball game's a lot more fun if we all keep the rules evenly. You know, I ask the question then, how is it that in some government circles, they love to change the rules every 2 or 3 years? Or they make the rules so long nobody can understand them. What, 3,600 pages of regulations for a health care bill? I'm sure none of you have read it. I'm sure none of you could understand it if you did read it. And if you had to go into the other regulations that append to that, it'd be absolutely impossible. Not to mention the fact that they're changing it, even as you're reading it. I wonder how old those writers are. But you see, they're not practicing the moral virtue of obedience. They're not interested in liberty. And as a result, it's all open season for them. They are not interested in the moral virtues. Humility, what comes when we practice humility? You are honored because you know your place and you stick to your business. The doctor who is humble knows his art, and when he comes, you come to him, he tells you exactly how you are to treat your body, heal your body, or that you're being paranoid and you need not worry. And if he's really got a good bedside manner, he'll make it easy for you to understand. And that is a great gift. But no matter what life you may enjoy, if you practice humility, you will be honored and you will honor all those around you because you understand who and what you are in light of God. And you will have joy because you will not be afraid then. Two of the moral virtues are characteristic of the Christian, particularly meekness, because a Christian will always know this is the way I'm going, and liberality, because they give not because of the person, but because for love of God. That's different from the pagan. That's different. You can find pagans who will practice a bit of chastity or temperance or humility, sometimes obedience and diligence, but meekness, no. Liberality, no. Those are characteristic of the Christian. Because in meekness, we are like the sheep. We are like the lambs. We are more like unto Christ. And therefore, we ought to pray especially for that virtue in our mind. The moral virtues are opposed to the deadly sins. And therefore, you find yourself struggling. Always turn back to the moral virtues. Always look back towards them, that you might grow strong and avoid falling into those pitfalls of the deadly sins, which will draw you down to hell. Love the moral virtues, therefore. We were reading the epistle today that they yielded their members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity. It was a priest who said, Father, think of this. Man alone is able to regulate his emotions. Dogs can't do it. Angels don't do that. Men have a time of decision. And in their animal bodies, their emotions can carry them away. The moral virtues help us to overcome those appetites which draw us away from God and draw us away from the service of our neighbor and that place in society where we ought to be. Therefore, if we are to be like the Son of God in imitation of him, ask for those moral virtues. Practice those moral virtues. Be like the Son of God, whom the angels themselves are jealous of, because they could not do that. They had pure intelligence with no bodies. Therefore, they knew and they did in an instant. Pray for those moral virtues. You see again the moral virtues and their importance. The two laws, love of God and love of neighbor. In love of God, we have faith, hope, and charity. In love of neighbor, we have the moral virtues. And this is the reason why Holy Mother Church has the charge to look after faith and morals. Cherish the moral. Cherish them. It will be a great defense for us as Catholics. It is the way of following our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the means to your joy, not only in this world, but in eternity. May we receive those virtues through the reception of this most holy Eucharist today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.